Good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'll begin reading in just a moment. As we get into 2 Chronicles chapter 4, we're looking at the period of time when Josiah had taken over the rule of the kingdom of Judah. And he was 8 years old when he first began to reign, and he began to serve the Lord as best he could, and he began to reinstate various things and try to tear down the idols and to turn them back to God. As he's doing all of these things, we see where he's cleansing the nation of all the idols, and he's trying to repair and clean up the house of the Lord, and they have begun a collection for all of this work. And I want to begin reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, there in verse 14. In verse 14, the New American Standard Bible reads, "When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Then Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, 'Everything that was entrusted to your servants, they are doing. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the supervisors of the workmen.' Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest gave me a book.' And Shaphan ran from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes." It's interesting that as we look at this, the kingdom of Judah had gone so far from the Lord that they had actually lost the book of the law. It had just become something that was just in the background somewhere. They had forsaken it for so long, being caught up in all of the idols that were all around them for so long that they just forgot where it was. No one was concerned with it. But Josiah is trying to turn the nation of Israel, turn the nation of Judah back to God, trying to get them to serve the Lord and to reinstitute various practices that were there. And they find the book of the law. And it's interesting to look as we see Josiah, the reaction he has when the law is read to him. And you can just imagine being the king of the nation of Judah, being a young man. He's still in his early 20s at this point in time. Being a young man, and you're trying to turn the people back to God. And then you read all these things that were found in Deuteronomy and Exodus, that if you don't keep my covenant, if you turn away from me, if you serve other idols, I'll remove you from the land. I will bring plagues. I will bring all these things upon you that I've brought upon so many others. And so this is what Josiah is having read to him. The weeping that he had in finding the law of the Lord and turning and having it read. It seems many times that the word is lost today for the same reasons. Oh yeah, we have copies of the Bible. It's interesting, you know, we have the Bible so much more readily available to us. I mean, in that day and time, you went to the temple to hear the word of the law. You couldn't find it anywhere else. They didn't have their own individual copies. And even when you get into the New Testament periods, you had to go to the synagogue to read the Old Testament law. You had to go to the local congregation to read the letters of the apostles and the gospels that were being written in the first, second, and third centuries. People treasured the Word of God. People looked forward to opportunities to get to read it. You know, we all have numbers of Bibles in our homes, probably. I haven't taken the time to count, but I know there's at least 15 or 20 copies of the Bible in various different translations that I've had from the time I was a young child to this point in time sitting behind me. And yet too many times, that's what it does. It just sits there behind us. We allow ourselves to lose the proper respect for the Word of God, like the Jews of old. They had forgotten where the Word of God was. They weren't even concerned with it. Today, we seem to have lost the Word of God. This morning and this evening, I want to look at some areas in where we have lost the Word of God. And this morning, I think, is one of the greatest areas. Really, if we take care of this area, the areas we're going to look at this evening will pretty much take care of themselves. But first and foremost, we can find that the Bible is lost in the home. It used to be that the Word of God was read in the home. The Word of God was taught in the home. The home was a place where That was the first and foremost thing in their mind. In fact, you go back into the early days of America, the Bible was used to teach the kids to read. Many people learned to read and to understand what they were reading by reading the Bible. But the Bible oftentimes gets left alone in our homes. It's on a bookshelf somewhere covered with dust. Or it's been staying on the benches of the church building throughout the week. It's always amazed me to see how many Christians will just leave their Bible behind. Oh, but I've got another one at home. But are you using it? Really, is that really treating the Word of God with respect? Now, I understand it's just a book as far as the pages and the binding. It's just a book. But is that really the attitude that we need to have with reading the Word of God? Sometimes we bring the book and we lift it up and take the book and have it in a special place. Edwin Crozier tells of when he was a young boy, his grandfather, he was sitting there beside his grandfather at services, and he laid his Bible down on the floor. And his grandfather was like, "Don't put your Bible down there. That's where people's feet go." And he looked over at his grandfather and said, "Well, where do you put your Bible?" He said, "Right here on the seat." And said, "Well, what's usually there?" You know, we lift the book, the binding, the paper, into a higher place than it should be. But do we really give the Word of God the respect that we should? Children and adults leave their Bibles behind. They show up to class without one. We have a total disregard for the Word of God, and this is a path that leads to destruction. This is what destroyed the nation of Israel. This is what turned them away from God, what allowed the idols to slide in. We take for granted the freedom that we have to possess copies. Do you know, in some nations, we would be surrounded by armed forces for doing the very thing that we're doing, for carrying a Bible with us. It's interesting, we have the Bible available to us in so many different ways. I'm never, ever without a Bible. Not because I've got it memorized in my head. I wish that were the case. But because you can have it on your phone. You can have it on various electronic devices. I've got it on my computer. There are so many different places we can have our Bible. But you know, that doesn't do any good if we don't use them. If they're just there to say, "Oh, look what I've got the Bible on my phone," and we're not using it, what good is that? In too many of our families, we have little to do with the Bible except in connection with the Bible classes at church. Study the Bible and talk about it needs to be a vital part of our family life in the home. You see, God has always wanted His Word to be studied, to be talked about in the home. His desire from the very beginning was that you talk to your children about His Word. In Genesis 18, there in verse 19, we read, God says of Abraham, He says, "For I have chosen him so that what? So that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Why did he choose Abraham? Because God knew Abraham would instill it in his children. That was pretty important because God's promise was going to be way off in the future. The final delivery of the promises, this land that you're in, I'm going to give it to your kids. I'm going to make your family into a mighty nation. And in that, your seed, all nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham was not going to live to see any of that. He never received any of those promises in his life except for the seed that was to bear all these things, Isaac. But God said, "I know that Abraham will teach his kids." When we look at the nation of Israel, they were told, we've been doing a study through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and now Joshua. And have you paid attention to all the times that something happened and they were told, "You tell your kids about it"? In Exodus chapter 10, there when the plagues were occurring in Egypt, He says to them that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandsons how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them. He says, "You watch what's going on here so you can tell your kids about it." Why? So they know the mighty works of the Lord. Did they do it? No. Because we just get into the days of Joshua, just a short period of time later. And we see that there arose a generation that knew not God, nor the things that He had done for them. They were told, as we go further in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 12, there, when he's talking about the Passover, he says, "And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' When you're sitting down and you're taking the Passover feast and your kids, Dad, why do we do this? Isn't that what kids do? Why do you do this? What's going on? What is this for? The first questions they get are why and what? Why do we do this? Well, this is why. Because the Lord took care of us. It's a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians but spared our home. So your children can learn. In Exodus chapter 13, there in verses 14 and 15, in the law of the firstborn, they'll say, when your son asks you in time to come saying, what is this? Then you say, with a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Going further in Deuteronomy chapter 4, when God was speaking from Mount Sinai, He says, make these things known, the laws that I'm giving you, the words that I'm telling you, make them known to your sons and your grandsons, and that they may teach their children. This was something that was to be passed down from generation to generation. It was of great importance that they pass these things on. Going further in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there in verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son. Then you teach them. You tell them. Parents, we've got to understand it is our responsibility to teach our children. God has from the very beginning given it to the mother and the father to teach their children of God. I've said from the day that we first found out Brooklyn was on her way, I've prayed to the Lord, God, just let me give her a love for your word. I don't care about anything else. I don't care what she does for a living. I don't care who she marries. Because if I've given her a love for the Word of God, she'll have an occupation that a Christian should have. She'll marry someone that God approves of. She'll marry someone that loves God as much or more than she does. I will have done everything I need to do to make her a good citizen. And more importantly, I will have given her everything she needs for eternal life. And the same goes for my son. We've got to talk to our kids. Joshua in Joshua chapter 4. You remember we were studying, they were coming across the Jordan River, entering into the land, finally receiving a promise that was given to Abraham so many years before. And he says, you gather up these stones as we go across, you gather up these stones and we're going to leave these things as a marker. And so it's going to be that when you go by, let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, hey, what are these stones about? What's the purpose of this big stack of stones? Why are these 12 stones here? Then you shall say to them, these stones are to be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. God has always wanted His Word studied and talked about in the home. But not just at religious times. Oh, I make sure my kids go to church. They're there for Sunday morning Bible study. They're there for Sunday morning worship. They're there for Sunday night worship. And I'm going to do my best to get them there for Wednesday night. I make sure my kids go to church. I'm here to tell you that won't do it. Getting them here to church won't save them. It won't instill in them the love that they need for the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have there the instructions that the Israelites were given and how they were to talk about their children. And look, he says these words, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now let's pause for just a moment. And let's realize exactly what God is telling the Israelites. He says when you're taking a walk with your kids, tell them about God. When you're taking a walk with your kids, you tell them, and this was to the Israelites, you tell them, you know, our forefathers were in bondage in Egypt. They were under the hand of the mightiest nation of the time, and we had been there for over 400 years. And God in His might and power delivered us from the hand of Egypt. Destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. And He led us through the wilderness. And He kept us and He cared for us. And He provided for us and He gave us this land. We didn't have to do anything. We just pretty much walked in and the people left. or they were destroyed before us. You talk to them. Time to sit down. Son, let me tell you about the wonderful works of God. Where have we failed? We take walks with our kids. Do we even take walks with our kids? Oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy working. I have to work. I've got to work to provide for my family. We need more things. Little Johnny and little Susie, they want computers. They want cell phones. They want all these things that all their friends have. And I've got to provide for them. I've got to give them these things. Every time I give them something, there's something else that they want. And I didn't have those things growing up, so I want to be sure and provide it for them. So we didn't even have time to take the walks with our kids. Sit down. Little Johnny, Dad, can I come sit with you? Son, I'm tired. This is Dad's time to relax. This is my time to kick back. I don't want to be disturbed. I've worked hard today. Mommy, will you read a story to me? Mommy's tired. She's been washing clothes. She's been working in the house. She's got so many things going on. Seriously, can you give me 5 minutes rest? Sound familiar? Can we look back and see maybe in our own lives? Perhaps that's the way we've been with our children. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to apologize. It's not too late to once again center our homes on the Word of God. For some, it's the best time to start. The earliest of memories are beginning. Let it be, Mommy loves the Word of God. Daddy tells the best Bible stories. Let it be that when we sit down, when we're walking, they're seeing and they're hearing the Word of God. Many times we leave it on the shelf and we turn to various secular books on how to raise our kids. Too many back in the 70s and 80s were turning to Dr. Spock, or we're looking at Parenting Magazine. How do I handle my child? Read the Bible. It tells you. Tells us everything that we need. We need to teach our children the Scriptures at home. Remember Timothy? Where did Timothy learn the Word of God? Oh, he was taught by Paul. No. Paul, he trained him. He taught him the Scriptures. No, he didn't. Where did Timothy learn? You go back and you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there in verse 14, he says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Who? "That from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Women like to say, "I don't have any importance in the Lord's church." This verse says you do. Timothy was a very effective preacher. Timothy was one that was an integral part of the ministries of the Apostle Paul. Timothy was left behind to appoint elders. This young man left behind in cities to appoint elders over a local congregation. To appoint the leadership of a congregation. Where did it all begin? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your mother, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well." Verse 5 there tells us this is where it all began. This is who instilled in Timothy the knowledge of the Scriptures that led to his salvation. It had nothing to do with Paul. Who taught him? Mama. Grandma. My grandmother, bless her soul. Every time we left her house, "I want you to be Christian." My mom continues. "We're preachers now, Mom. I just want you to be a Christian." Mom will tell you that when I was in high school, you asked me what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a bum. Seemed like a pretty good life. She's like, "Okay, as long as you're a Christian, Mom." She knew that those two didn't exactly fit. As long as I was a Christian, I wouldn't be a bum. But that's the thing. What do you want for your children? What do we push our children to do, to be, to understand, to know? What do we stress the most in our children's lives? Paul says from the very beginning, your mother and your grandmother instilled in you a love for the Word of God. They instilled for you the knowledge that you needed to know the sacred writings that are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. All too often, our children's education, well, that's what the school systems are for. I send my kids to the best public school there is. I'm going to send my kids to the school system. They'll teach them everything they need to know so that they can be good, productive people in the town. Let me tell you what I learned in science. Carl Sagan, through his video Cosmos, taught me that this world began with a large explosion. That there was no supreme being at the beginning. There was no supreme being putting these things together in an orderly fashion. My science class taught me that all these things just happen. My science class taught me that I'm an ape. My science class taught me that I've just evolved a little more than the gorillas in Africa. That I'm just a little bit more smart than the chimpanzees. That I'm of no greater value than them. My health class began to teach me the life within a woman is just a mass of tissue. It's just a mass of tissue. It's just a growth. And it can be removed with no worries whatsoever. It's not. There's nothing about it. It's just a mass of tissue. It's just a fetus. They taught me there was no God. He did not create the world. The Bible is foolish stories. You want to leave all your education up to them? Then no, that's why your children will be lost. You think they're going to teach? I'm not saying that all teachers are that way. There are teachers, we have one that's sitting back there that worked hard her life teaching. We have others that are occasionally in our midst that are teachers, and there are those out there that love God's Word, but their hands are tied. Tied tight. Their job is at risk if they mention God. In the school systems now, they read, Heather has two mommies. In the school systems, they write petitions to their local governments to allow homosexual marriages, to make it okay, to pass laws that they can have the same rights and privileges of a man and a woman that gets married. That's what they teach in the school systems. And if we are not teaching them at home that God is the creator of all things, that God made us special, that we are made in the likeness of God, if we don't ingrain that in them and show them through the wonders of creation, show them through the Bible, our kids are lost.
Amen.
They're lost to the humanist of the world. They're lost forevermore. See, the Bible has to be taught in the home. The Bible has to be first and foremost in the home. We've got to dig out our Bibles. We've got to dust them off and put its teachings into practice. We've got to teach our children the importance of the Scriptures. It's more important than anything else in the world. Your math homework can wait. It's time to read the Bible. Your history homework, we'll work on that later, because right now it's time for us to sit down and read the Word of God. Your test tomorrow on Thursday, it doesn't matter. We're going to church tonight. The baseball game, the football game, the band practice, all those things do not matter. Church comes first. Amen. Serving the Lord comes first.
Amen.
Being faithful to His commandments come first. Why is the church hemorrhaging its young people? Because we're telling them school is more important. They take that into the workforce. Work is more important. Or they've seen mama and they've seen daddy miss services for so many little things. Well, it's not that big of a deal. It begins with us. If we don't teach them, who will? If we don't teach them, if we don't set the example, if we don't provide them with what they need for everlasting life, They will be everlastingly lost. And it'll be because of us. Now, I'm not saying that we, just if we preach the Word of God and we live it and we teach it and everything, that they're never going to be lost. Some things just happen. But we need to understand that home is the primary place where we are to learn the Bible. The Lord didn't institute the Lord's church just for teaching your children. These Bible classes are supplemental. They're extracurricular. They're to give you a little bit more understanding. They're not to be your primary source of learning. What do we read in Proverbs chapter 22? Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's exceptions to every rule, isn't there? I'm a living, breathing exception to that rule for a period of time. My parents tried to teach me. Did they do a perfect job? No. I look back and I see things they could have done differently. My father looks back and sees things he could have done differently. Hindsight is always better. Looking back, oh man, I really shouldn't have done this child this way. I should have focused more on these things. I try to learn from their example. They put certain things first and foremost. Serving the Lord was number one. And so I'm going to carry that with my kids, but I'm going to carry it a step further. I'm going to go even further. But all that aside, my parents, I grew up in a godly home. I grew up in a home where my mother, I remember every Sunday morning, my mother was sitting under the hair dryer. She was reading God's Word. I don't even know if they still make those kind of hair dryers that you sit underneath and it just covers the whole head. And she'd sit there and you couldn't eat. Mom, is the chocolate gravy done yet? She's reading. Oh, it's over there percolating. But she's there reading. I remember that. My father, his office, I grew up in the home of a preacher. I was a preacher's kid. He began preaching before I was born. And his office was either at home or sometimes at the building. But Dad was studying. That was important. He always had time for us, but Dad was studying. Did I remain faithful? No. Around 89, 90? Not so much. 91, 92, 93? Not really. 94? Starting to a little bit. 95? With the help of a wonderful woman, yeah. We both got back to where we needed to be. To where we had been taught when we were younger. We remembered those things. Those things constantly pricked us. They tore at us. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I really like the way the New American Standard Bible translates this. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, 2 plus 2 is important. It's important that they have math skills. It's important that they have the ability to read. It's important that they be able to understand that the things, to be able to reason. But what's most important is that they have a proper and healthy fear of the Lord. And that they have a love for the Lord and they have been instructed in His Word. That is of the greatest importance as parents. Fathers, I want to talk to us for just a moment because we have been given the responsibility. Dads, it's us. God said, you're the one. Don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You have the primary responsibility. It was said of Abraham, not of Sarah. Abraham will guide his children. It was said to the fathers that they're to teach their sons as they're walking by the way, as they're sitting down. There's no greater problem among us than the widespread abdication of the fathers of their God-given role of spiritual leaders in the home. Men have the idea now that if they're going to be a good dad, they're going to provide well for their family. They're going to give their family everything they want and need. And a lot of times they put that want long before the need. Little Susie wants this. Well, I'll do anything in my power to get it for her. Dads, old and young, let's pause for just a moment. Let's ask ourselves, have we been the spiritual leader of our family? Are we the spiritual leader of our family? Do we show through our actions, through our life, through our teaching, that God is first and foremost in our life and is of the greatest concern for our family? If not, let's repent. Let's apologize. And let's set a new example. Time may be lost, but the example can still be set. Once again, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Why do we need the Methodist Church and various the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to tell dads that it's time that our kids don't have to buy our time? I tell you what, that commercial will break your heart if you're one of those dads who works all the time and never has time for his kids. Remember the son? He's like, how much do you make? Here's my penny jar. Can I buy an hour of your time? How many fathers would be, oh, I'm sorry, that's not enough. My time's worth more than that. I'm afraid way too many. There is nothing more important. No television show, no computer program, no football game, baseball game, basketball game, golf, tennis, fishing. There is nothing in the world more important than the time that you sit down with your kids, with your children, and you read to them from the Word of God. And you say, this is what God is telling us. And you instruct them in His Word. Fathers, we have that responsibility. But mothers, sometimes the fathers will leave that and it falls to you. You see, more than being a place where the contents of the Bible are to be learned, the home is the ideal place for the truth of the Bible to be learned in real life situations, in relationships. I learned the love of God through the love that my mother and father showed for one another. That's what we should be able to say about our parents. But oftentimes it's not. I learned to yell and scream and throw things by watching my mother and my father. I learned the way to solve battles was just to fight harder. I hope and pray that my children will be able to look and to see the devotion that I have for their mother, the devotion that I have for them comes from my love of God and His Word. That it is that causes me to give them the time that they deserve, the time that they need. Home is where most often we learn the truth of God's right. Home is where the truths of God's Word are not only taught, but they're modeled, they're illustrated, they're brought to life. We see it. We sing the song, "We Are the World's Bible." Kids don't learn to read until they're, 6, 8, some of them 10, 12, some of them 20. But they read the Bible of your life. And as we sing, what if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if the message they're getting through you is not the message of God's Word? What's going to live with them throughout the rest of their life? Well, Dad always taught me this. Mom always said this. Let's make sure that we're teaching them from the Word of God. Let's make sure that we're showing them, that we're teaching them as we're walking by the way. Well, as we close out our lesson this morning, we ask the question, is the Bible the center of our homes? What's the center of most living rooms? If you don't know, come over to my house and you'll see all the seating is pointed toward a gray and glass thing sitting over in the corner with a bunch of electronics down underneath plugged into it and various things. You go in my son's room and where's his seat pointed? Towards a black and glass thing with some electronics down below plugged into it, running up into it. You go into my daughter's room. She's so proud. She finally got a television in her room again. Her brother's had one for a while, and she's just so happy that she finally got one in her room again. Brooklyn understands, and Austin will come to understand when he gets older. Those televisions can be unplugged real quickly. I've done it before. Do it again. She knows, I know, where all the cable connections are, the internet connections. I love technology because it's so easy to turn off. To just completely and totally remove it. Just, oh, it's gone. My daughter used me as an excuse last Sunday for not knowing something. No one made her sit there. Yesterday, we had planned to sit down and watch a movie. I had gotten it through Blockbuster. We were anxiously awaiting the time to get down to get to sit down and watch a movie that was kid appropriate. She hadn't learned what she needed to learn for her Bible class. Brooklyn, did you get to watch the movie? No. Why? We've been waiting all week to get to watch this movie. This was the time that we had planned to sit down as a family and watch this movie together. Why? Because Bible comes first. I think we would do well sometimes to disconnect the cable. And I've done this before, and if I feel it's necessary, I'll quickly do it again, to disconnect the cable, turn off the television sets, disconnect the internet. And the time that we usually sit down and watch television, let's just read the Bible. I've done it before, and I've caught myself falling away from it. And this year, we began another time of study, where we're sitting down, and a book written by a friend of mine, Edwin Crozier, it's a reading program through the New Testament designed for groups. So I've made sure that Brooklyn and Anna and myself, we all sit down and read the passages that morning and work through the questions that are provided. And the questions are there to make you think about what you're reading. Try to apply it to your life. And of course, Brooklyn's just getting to the age where she can begin to make applications. And then every evening we sit down and we read it again. Therefore, as a family, we've read those two chapters twice in that day. And then we talk about what we've read. Now, this would be the first time. And for Austin, it's time for me to sit still and color on a map and answer the question, who wrote Luke? Luke. But you see, if I don't start these things now, when my daughter is reaching the age of accountability, when my son is beginning to get to an age where he can understand certain concepts, I'll lose them. Oh, I'll have them as a family throughout the rest of my days. And they may love and adore me, but I'll lose them spiritually. And in the end, that, my friends, is all that matters. How do we make the Bible centered in our home? First of all, we make sure that each and every person in the household has a Bible. Austin can't read, but he's got a couple of Bibles that are his that he uses. Why? That's a Bible. Take care of it. Let's open up our Bibles. Does he read any of the words? No. But he knows that's an important book. It's a time when the whole family sits down. I can count on maybe one or two hands the amount of times we sit down at the dining room table and eat together as a family. But thankfully this year, it's going to take a lot more than that to count the time that we sat around that table and read the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying, look at me. I'm just saying, these are some things that we need to do. We need to provide them with the Bible and show them the importance of that Bible. Make sure they all have one. Make sure they know how to use it and make plans to educate them. That Bible does no good if we say, here's a Bible, don't mess it up. What's a Bible for? It's to be read. It's to be eaten. Now, little ones, don't misunderstand me and think that you're to tear the paper out and eat it. It's to be ingested into your life, to become a part of you. Make plans to educate your family in the Scriptures. We can make it a priority to make the Bible a part of the routine in our daily lives. But we're so busy. I have to get up early and go, and it's so late when I come in. Oh, but we find time to watch television, don't we? When Lost is on, oh yeah, we're going to be there. 24, that's one of the things I love about Facebook, is I get to know the television shows that all my friends watch and everything, and I get to see, well, they're really excited about the show. I've never seen it. I don't know. I've never watched 24. I've never watched Lost. It's just not my cup of tea, but a lot of people love it, and they schedule their lives around it. That's the time we sit down and we watch. I'm going to be honest, there are other times where we have shows, but we watch them on our own schedule through the wonders of modern technology. Make time. Turn off the television. Drop a few extracurricular activities. Those things, they look great on resume, they won't get you into heaven. Okay? Understand that. It's more important that we sit down and we make time to work through the Word of God, that they see us. We can read and we can study the Bible every day. I've said time and time again, one of the greatest examples, my grandfather, my pawpaw, every time I went to his house, he was reading the Word of God. Every time. I lived with him for a period of time. Every time he was out there on the porch reading. Oh, but he was retired. But he was setting a great example there, wasn't he? I've told myself from that point on, I want my grandkids and my kids, more importantly, to think, I remember my dad reading the Bible. Through being in contact with various people, they were talking about certain things in their life. And it really struck me that two of the people that I've become acquaintances with, they were talking about, they remember their dad sitting and studying there at the kitchen table, reading their Bibles. That was their greatest memory of their father. That's awesome. That's what the memory should be. Now also there's memories of them playing with you and spending time with you and taking you fishing and teaching you how to ride a bike and things of that nature. But they need to remember how important the Word of God was to you. Not how important the laptop was. I remember my dad, he always has a laptop in his lap. He's always sitting there before the computer screen. Chuck, I'm kind of talking to us there, aren't I? Trust me, I'm hitting me just as hard as you. I understand. The Bible is so important. Make sure that we put more into preparation for Bible studies. How long do they see you preparing for the Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights? Or better yet, do they see you preparing for the Bible studies? Do they see you Saturday night? Hey, did you get your Bible lesson done? You better go get it done. And then you throw up your Bible, you scratch out some answers and put them out in there. Okay, I'm done. Let's watch TV. Let's eat dinner. Let's go to bed. Or do they see you sit down there with your Bible? You pull out your concordance, your Bible dictionary. They see you poring over the Scriptures and reading them, and thinking about them, and studying on things that maybe you don't fully understand, and making sure that, and maybe writing, having an extra sheet of paper there, trying to put in all the information that you're coming across so that you have something to bring to the Bible class. I'll tell you, as a teacher, there's nothing a teacher likes more than when the students seem to know more than they do. That's a wonderful thing. When they seem to be more prepared. There's nothing worse than when you call out a question and someone rattles off the simplest answer that was possible. And that's it. What do they see in us? More importantly, we can be involved in our kids' Bible classes and have regular family Bible studies at home. I can't stress this one enough. If you leave it to the church to teach your kids, they'll never be true Christians. Period. I've said it here before, and we need to continue to think about this. If we send our kids to public school as often as we send them to the Bible classes, Carissa would have just finished the first grade. She's the only one in here I knew that was 21. 21 years to complete the first grade. And we wonder why so many of our young people are lost or being carried off into various doctrines and false teachings and the charismatic movements of the world that is around us. They've never been taught. They've never been really carried in the Scriptures. As fathers, as mothers, we must set aside time. Perhaps it's the time that we set aside time with our grandkids. Perhaps we're the only example they have. Let's take advantage of that. Let's take advantage of the time that we have and yes, play with them and spend time with them and show them the love and adoration we have for them, but also show them the importance of God's Word in our life and the importance for them. Let's quit reading about Rapunzel and Cinderella, Jack and the Beanstalk, Robin Hood. And let's read to them about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Noah, Josiah, Daniel. Let's read to them of Jesus, Peter, Paul. Let's tell them stories. Let them see through our vivid imagination the things that have gone on before that have prepared the way of eternal life for us. Let them know how important it is in your life. And then talk about God and His Word in our homes. I want to read a passage from an article by Connie Adams. He wrote back in 1997, and it was after his parents had passed away. And he and his sisters were going through the family possessions, and you know, there's so many things that your parents have that have great memories, but you don't really have a physical need for them. And so it comes time to get rid of them. He talks about the yard sale that was going on. They were selling their family's possessions. And he said he was doing fine throughout the day until the old beat up dining room table, the kitchen table, was sold. And he said he had to pause and go in and let it all out for a little while. I want you to read some of the words that he wrote about that kitchen table. He said, "At that table, we learned respect for each other, and especially our elders. We had our turns to say what we wanted to say, but we did not interrupt when the grown folks were talking. It was at that table when I was 11 years old that my parents explained to us why we were leaving the Christian church, in which we had many relatives and longtime friends. Serious Bible talk made lasting impressions around that table. When we die, are we going to be like my mom's dad, where all the grandkids are wanting one of his Bibles because we knew it meant so much to him as an elder in the Lord's church? Are we going to be caught up in going, I just want one of them? Are they going to look and go, well, his Tolkien collection. Oh, he just loved that Tolkien collection. I want that one. What do they see as of more importance in our lives? Are they going to say, I remember sitting around that table reading from the Word of God. I remember sitting there poring over God's Word and my father instructing me. My mother making applications and making it clearer for me. Remember, we learn at home. I want to close by looking at two passages of Scripture. The first one is in Psalm 78. In the 78th Psalm there, beginning in verse 4, look at what the psalmist says. He says, "We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and not be like their generation, like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Folks, let's take this into our own lives. Let's teach our kids so that we know they'll teach theirs. We've said it time and time again that any congregation is just a generation away from apostasy. Why? Because we as fathers, we as parents, aren't fulfilling our responsibility in teaching them the love of the Word of God. We're not teaching them the great and wonderful works of God. We're not instilling those things in them. And so, let's continue in the instruction that was given to the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. Shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates." Where's the Bible in your home? Do we spend Sunday morning playing the game, "Where's the Bible? Where's my Bible? I know I laid it down Wednesday night somewhere. Where is it? I haven't been able to find it since Wednesday night. Oh, wait, I haven't looked for it since Wednesday night." For some, it's, "I haven't looked for it since Sunday." Ken Lydia is going to look up to you for her understanding of the Word of God. It's one of the most blessed responsibilities I've ever been given. Treasure it. One of the greatest joys I have is when we sit down as a family and we open up the Word of God and we read from it, and I think, I'm doing what God wanted me to do. This is my God-given responsibility, and what a great and wonderful joy it is. Once again, fathers, we may look back over our life and go, "I didn't do that." I can look back over stretches of Brooklyn's life where I didn't do that. It's not too late. There's nothing a kid appreciates more than when a father apologizes for something wrong that's been done. I'm going to tell you one incident that just really stood out in my mind throughout the time since I was about third grade. It was a Sunday morning. We were all getting ready for church. My brother-in-law, I, Jeff, we shared a room. And my dad come in, beat the fire out of both of us, because we weren't ready for church yet. I'm talking good old-fashioned whooping. The belt was from here on up. We were both a-hurting and a-crying. And over our tears, we heard our mother go, "Jerry, it's still another hour before time to leave." It's the first time I ever saw my dad cry. He came back in there and he apologized. And I still hurt. Not going to lie to you, it was not comfortable riding to church. But I love my dad for that. That's the example he set. It's not too late to apologize to your kids. I haven't been the spiritual leader that I need to be. I'm going to do better. It's not too late to start. To show them. Mothers, it's not just the dads. They need to see in us. Remember, it was Lois and it was Eunice that taught Timothy the things that he needed to know. The things that led to his salvation. They'll remember you reading the Word of God. They'll remember you telling them stories from the Word of God. If the Bible is not at the forefront in your home today, make it. It's more important than just Sundays and Wednesdays. It's an everyday part of our life. If it's not that big in your life, make it that big today. Because I will tell you this, you will not go to heaven just studying your Bibles on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's impossible. You cannot be the child of God that God wants you to be. You cannot grow in His grace and knowledge and understanding as we're required to grow just in studying on Sundays and Wednesdays. Make it a part of your life. Make it the center of your home. We're going to look at some other areas this evening, Lord willing, where the Bible is lost. But as I said in the beginning of the lesson, it begins in the home. If you want to change civilization, start by changing your kids. You want to make them more godly? Make your kids more godly. Their example will go out and it will spread and the world will change. And there will be hope for this congregation in the futures to come. Perhaps you're here and you need to repent of various things in your life. Perhaps you haven't been the teacher in your family that you should be. You haven't been the example that you should be. Repent. And turn once again unto the Lord. Put Him first and foremost in your life. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then today is your opportunity to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To repent of your sins, be buried in baptism, arising a new creature. Arising to have God above everything in your life. Above family in the hospital. Above family in the funeral home. Above family coming in to visit. Above everything, God and His Word comes first. If you're lacking, make your life right with God this day as we stand and as we sing.